Greg Dunn is trans health coordinator for Chase Brexton Healthcare in Baltimore, and she's here to talk about improving medical care for transgender individuals and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Tell us about Chase Brexton Healthcare.
Chase Brexton started in the 70s, 78, started as a gay men's clinic and has evolved over the years to become a multidisciplinary with family practice, primary care, dentistry, behavioral health, caseworkers, pharmacy, and have become pretty center of excellence for HIV, hepatitis C care, and also well-known to serve the LGBTQ community. Particularly, there's a strong transgender practice.
How did you become involved?
I think that I've always wanted to work for Chase Brexton. I've been following Chase Brexton for many years, and then the opportunity came for me to get a job. I applied as a physician assistant and was able to get a job as a primary care family practitioner, where I felt like, I wanted to give back to the LGBT community and serve, because there's so many barriers to care, that community of people, and I just really wanted to be able to give back.
This year has been the deadliest year on record for our transgender community. How are you addressing these issues?
Well, I have a large number of transgender and gender non-binary patients. Approximately 90 to 95% of all of my patients are transgender and gender non-binary. And I spent a lot of time during the office visits really listening to the concerns of these patients, helping them find resources, providing whatever care they need, not just transitional care, but if they need behavioral health, if they need caseworker help, for example, there's a high rate of unemployment, homelessness. Just really represent that person that they can come to as support, as a source of resource. But there's a lot of pain in the community.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Well, I hope to kind of leave a legacy. I would like to be able to expand the medical knowledge, educate the medical community on how to provide transgender medical services, because it's not taught in any medical curriculum, medical schools, school of dentistry or nursing. My job is I'm out there educating. I'm doing presentations. I'm speaking at conferences nationally. I'm helping to write guidelines for transgender care. So that's number one. Number two, I really do want to serve as an advocate to help develop resources and services for the LGBTQ, transgender, non-binary community. And then, most important of all, I just want to be that person that represents an opening and affirming and knowledge provider, practitioner, to help people achieve that quality of life, that life that they've always felt like they should have been part of, that they can't necessarily go anywhere else.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
I believe that the largest amount of support probably will have to come from places of worship, community organizations, places like Chase Brexton, because, I know that there's a lot of fear of medical privilege insurances being canceled, transgender especially services not being covered for surgeries and medications. So places like Chase Brexton, which can offer services for people without insurance and also are able to offer discounted medications, is going to be really needed if this happens. And again, just to be able to offer mental health, to provide practitioners who can be listeners, and to have a place, a safe space for people to come that need to be heard.
With LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's administration?
Well, kids, LGBTQ kids need to get, I think, involved as early as possible in disciplinary groups such as Chase Brexton, such as PFLAG, such as places of worship where they can feel supported, where they can feel listened to, because it's not just the suicide rate, it's also substance abuse, promiscuous sexual behavior, HIV, which are on the rise with this community of people. And until we can really get to the base, the bottom of what's causing some of the issues, like not being rejected by family or friends, but being more accepting, I think that once these people can get engaged in those kind of services and they can build up confidence in themselves, then they'll be able to just get back up after being bullied and knocked down. But meanwhile, organizations like PFLAG going into the schools, you know, making sure that they're following policies on bullying is very, very, very important. And then also teaching parents how to be advocates and allies for their kids.
How can people get information about Chase Brexton Healthcare?
Well, we do have the website, you know, chasebrexton.org. We are a huge resource for people like psychiatry, other providers, primary care providers in the community refer patients to us. So referrals are, you know, pretty big. And we have a program called Gender Journeys of Youth, Gender Joy. And that's been, you know, between the pediatric endocrinologist, Dr. Pine, and I, we've been out literally speaking at conferences about it. So through word of mouth, through resources, and through our website. So if you Google LGBTQ health services, Chase Braxton will pop up.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm spending a lot of time educating hospitals to help make their hospitals opening affirming to inpatient, outpatient services, emergency room services, because one of the barriers for healthcare for transgender, gender non-binary, and LGBT people is the lack of education for medical providers. I've been speaking to all the health departments, helping colleges, universities know what the health disparities are that impact this community of people so they can know how to recognize and treat this community of people who have high disparities. I am meeting with county executives, and they are inviting different county organizations to come in, like the Department of Aging, Child and Family Services, the commissioners from detention centers and prisons, so that everyone can hear and know and learn how to collect data, which is really important to help target and to find out what these health disparities are so that you can develop programs for people. So my job is just really out in the community, educating, making people aware of the issues. It's not just bathrooms. It's not just people wanting surgeries, medications, but it's just helping the community people be better embraced. If you can understand what the issues are that impact the people as far as rejection, discrimination, and we can treat those things, then we can have healthier people. Because definitely studies show that people, the less rejection and less discrimination a person has, the healthier they are.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Yeah, I wish people would ask how they could get involved, because we really need strong allies and advocates. I wish people could ask about how to contact their councilmen and how to get involved with finding out who the supporters of the community are and to have safe spaces for especially the young people to come, not just necessarily for support, but for places where they can come and be around other people like themselves. So I really would like for people to ask how they can help, how they can be better advocates and allies.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Well, for me, you know, it can be difficult, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity to make a difference. And I literally leave work every single day feeling like I made a difference in someone's life. And that's what gives me drive every day.